The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Dr. Kiltz, welcome to the Fearless Podcast. How are you doing today?
TD, I'm awesome. Thanks for the invite. I really appreciate you and all you're doing. And it's another perfect God-given day. God-blessed day.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation. We try to put out great, high-quality information. And because of that, we get a lot of questions. And one of the most popular questions, we have a large family and we have a lot of kids, you know, and we're all eating a meat-based carnivore diet. And we get the question all the time, you know, is this safe for moms to be mothers? Is this safe for nursing moms? And I thought, who better than one of the leading OG? For those of you that don't know, Dr. Kiltz is the founder and director of the CNY Fertility Clinic. It's one of the largest, most innovative fertility practices in the country. Dr. Kiltz is a diplomat of the American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecologically and fellowship trained, board certified in reproductive
endocrinology.
Endocrinology. Yeah, a lot of words there. And infertility. And, you know, he's a lot smarter than I am and he can pronounce these words. And, yeah, we got to meet in Austin and I wanted to have you on because I wanted to talk about it's a very common question, like, you know, can women eat this way? What if you're trying to have children? What if you're expecting? What if you're nursing? And what the way I thought maybe we could open it up is maybe give us a little bit of your backstory. Like, how did you discover this way of eating? And like, how long have you been eating this way?
Well, I'm another human being like you are, and your family is, and everyone else that's listening to this and learning from this. And I'm 69, I'm almost 70. I've been carnivore for nearly 15 years. And I suffered migraines, arthritis, psoriasis, kidney stones, bowel bleeding, depression, anxiety. As a child, I had bad migraines forever, ADHD, OCD. I was kicked out of school and again couldn't read. I believe all of that is secondary to a plant protein, low animal fat diet. I ate the standard cereal, salads, pasta, pizza, bread, lean meat. And, you know, no one ever sort of commented, hey, I wonder if your diet might be the problem. And about 25 years ago, I was doing Atkins diet just to kind of slim down and feel better. And on it, I felt a little better, but didn't really put two and two together. And then I learned from some of my patients in the fertility business. I was actually integrating meditation, prayer, yoga, acupuncture to try to help people de-stress. And then some of them were getting pregnant on a paleo diet. And I'm like, okay, what's a paleo diet? And then I read about paleo and I started integrating paleo diet into our plan. I started doing it. And then I found keto. And each of those things, Atkins, paleo, keto, made me feel better. And then I went carnivore 15 years ago, nearly after seeing a guy like you and I who was eating just meat, feeling ripped, looking ripped and feeling amazing. And I went carnivore and I, like, literally in 1 month, all of the disease is gone. I've never felt better. And I started talking about it much more in my practice. You know, first it was, I'm mostly talking about paleo and keto. And then, you know, since COVID, really leaning into the carnivore conversation. And as a doc, I went into medicine to help people heal. And most of the causes of disease were, I don't know. And when I finally figured it out that a fatty meat diet is the healthiest thing we can eat, and whether you're a mom, a dad, a baby, an adolescent, or an adult, it's really the thing that we should all be looking at. And again, it doesn't make sense according to what we're all told. But when you look back, back anthropologically, evolutionarily speaking, we're hunters. We're not grazers. And when I ditched the plants of any significance or frequency, it changed my life. And as a doc, my job is to change your life too. And so I write about it, I blog about it, and you know, I can't be quiet about it.
So you've been eating this way for 15 years. Where do you get your fiber from?
I work to eliminate fiber because fiber is like eating steel wool. Why would you do that? And it causes a tremendous amount of damage and disease to our gut. And if you look carefully, and really don't have to look, you just Crohn's, IBS, cancer of the colon, of the bowels is on the rise. And when you go off of fiber, you'll be like, wow, it felt so good in my life. And if you look at the science, it isn't science. It's actually, once again, opinions. And it turned out to be propaganda, in my opinion. Now, remember, I'm a double board certified reproductive endocrinologist, OBGYN. I have nothing in the game here to be trying to tell people not to do something when it comes to plants, other than I want you to be healthy like I am. And so I found that the story we're taught about fiber is completely wrong.
And, you know, that's why I make it a point to encourage people and to tell this story over and over again. We've been carnivore for over 2 years now. I've overcome some very serious debilitating health issues, and I continue to improve and continue to have more success and a lot of healing. And I think it's really important in the information age, right? It's the information age. So there's an inordinate amount of information. There's a lot of propaganda. And then there's a large faction and group of people that are telling you one thing. Then there's a large faction of another group of people that are telling you the exact opposite thing. And they all wear white lab coats, you know, and say, trust the science and all that stuff. And then there's, you know, there's everybody else. And it's very easy in this social media world with all this information to be hypnotized. Like you can hear the truth and you can even say, oh, I'm going to try that. But it's very easy to get hypnotized back into the mainstream narrative. And so I think it's really important to tell the story, to remind people, hey, this is why I started doing this. This is why I continue to do it. And to encourage people, because all the other voices they're hearing are saying, oh, what about your fiber? Or what about colon cancer? Or, you know, all these other different things. And I think it's really important. I mean, it's kind of irrefutable when somebody talks to you and says, well, how long have you been eating this way? Well, 15 years. You're not dead yet. You kind of look like 10 years younger, 15 years younger than you really are. I mean,
I'm just another dude, a human being. And my sister died of diabetes at age 52, had it since age 4. Some of my friends have died of cancers in their 20s and 40s and 50s and 60s. And they were healthy people, some of them. And the question is, well, why did they get that disease? And it took me a while to figure this out, but let's get back to propaganda. I mean, ultimately, doctors used to tell people to smoke cigarettes, and they still tell them to drink alcohol. It's okay. But would you give alcohol to your child? No, you would not. And we know that tobacco is deadly and dangerous. And if you think about it, heroin, cocaine, marijuana, nicotine, and caffeine come from plants. Tell me something poisonous that comes from ribeye steak.
Great, great point. And you make another really great point that I find fascinating with alcohol inside the carnivore movement. Like everybody is telling you alcohol is poison, right? And we know this. We know what causes, you know, you to become inebriated and tipsy, it's a destruction of your brain cells. It's a lack of oxygen. We know this, right? But somehow we've been told that phytonutrients and these biflavonoids that are in the wine are going to improve whatever. But what we're seeing in reality is we're seeing a lot of sick people. And with these new studies with wine and cancer and this correlation because of glucose and because of, you know, whatever pesticides they're using, we keep seeing that that's not the case.
Well, ultimately, plants are live organisms that do not want to be eaten. Evolutionarily speaking, they've been around for a lot longer than you and I. They've created phytochemicals and other protective mechanisms to prevent them from being eaten, and or they've actually created chemicals and pheromones and all sorts of things to make them be eaten. And ultimately, they're the controllers. They control you and I. We think, oh, plants are just innocuous or non-toxic, and they're healthy for us. And you mentioned the antioxidants and the flavonoids and all sorts of other things. That's just scientific garbage to sell you a product that you don't need at all. We have no requirement to ever eat a plant. The biggest problem is we're eating a low animal fat diet. That is absolutely the one single thing that's caused the majority of our problems. And so a lack of fat causes a lot of gut inflammation. And what if all gut inflammation leads to almost every single disease we have? And because it damages the gut micro and glycobiomes, and it causes leaky gut. And the last I looked, the way you make alcohol, the way wine, beer, and spirits, is you ferment plants. So that means if you're eating a high plant, low fat diet, the bacteria and yeast in your gut are making alcohol. So that means your children are walking around this earth with alcohol circulating in their body, not because they drank it, but because the microbes made it in their gut. And so we're unknowingly feeding the bugs what they love, and they make heat, gas, methane, aldehydes, and alcohol. There's something called autologous alcohol syndrome, and it is real. People have been arrested for being drunk, and they drank no alcohol. It was made, I think it's autologous brewery syndrome. And again, don't believe a word I'm saying. I don't know what I'm talking about. You just do carnivore for 1 month and tell me you don't feel better. Now, remember, it's hard to be a carnivore because you're chastised in this world and you want to fit in. Now, the last I looked, fitting in is not what you want to do. You want to be a leader to this world. You lead like Jesus, is my opinion in life. And Jesus was a lion king. You see, you took one lion king to help the sheep and lead the sheep. Because ultimately, we're living like sheep and we're waiting to be saved. But we're already saved if you just listen to the truth that we're lions, not sheep.
Well, we have a lot of kids, and I've always raised to observe the masses and do the opposite. And the reason that this is true is because we're surrounded by disinformation, and whether it's fitness, whether it's diet, whether it's financial responsibility. If you listen to the mainstream, usually the mainstream information is absolutely false. It's absolutely wrong. And I mean, like, for example, in America, we supposedly live in this capitalistic country, yet we've adopted this Keynesian debt-based economy, right, that creates all of the ills and all the financial issues and the financial problems and all the distress and all the hyperinflation. It's all created upon a false economic theory that is completely void of capital. You know, so when I train my children, I say, you know, if you want to have financial success, you have to save capital. You know, nobody, you know, I think the average savings rate in America is like less than 2%. 85% of all Americans have less than $1,000 in like in a cash reserve and like an emergency fund. And so most people don't do that. So if you want to have success in that area, you have to do the opposite of what everybody else is doing, you know, and we see that with exercise. We see it with our food and the way we eat. And it is very radical. It's very different. And when you try to explain it to people, there's like a clash of cognitive dissonance in their mind because they're like, wait, nobody's ever told me that before. You know, how is this true? And so, you know, we want to tell the story. We need experts like you that have been not only doing this for an extended period of time, but has also been prescribing it as a way of healing for, I mean, look at infertility in America and even around the world now, you know, because we are being poisoned by our food and by the toxins in the environment, microplastic, forever chemicals, and all these different things. You know, look at fertility. And then, so now you have all these people that want to be fruitful and multiply, have children, right? And fulfill the mandate that God has given them. But here they are. Oh, well, the solution is like in vitro fertilization. You know, there's like all of this scientific intervention and chemicals that we can apply and we can fix this thing when in reality, if something at the most amazing thing about the carnivore diet, one of my buddies at work, him and his wife went carnivore about 3 weeks ago. They're having a ton of success. And he said to me, he's like, this is just the most basic, simple, easy diet. It's so easy to implement and it's so easy to do that it makes it very sustainable, you know? And it's the most simple thing in the world to do and to try. And within 30 days, you're going to have such success that it's going to help motivate you to stay the course.
I talk to people that are suffering from infertility around the globe, and I do blogging on this. So I write about it. And I have so many people that text me, Dr. Kiltz, I was getting ready for IVF, and you shared with me the carnivore diet, and I'm pregnant. And I hear the story time and time and time again. And the cause of most infertility is, I don't know. That is not an acceptable answer, in my opinion. And if I don't know is the answer, could it be the plant-based low-fat diet we're eating? And most people say, well, no, that's healthy for us. I say, well, who told you that? And healthcare costs are on the rise. The number of people suffering from every disease you can imagine is on the rise. The age of death is dropping in America. That means we're living less time than we should be. There's a push in this world to make a bunch of money and retire, and that you should work on not working. When in fact, if you don't hunt and gather, you're dead. And so we've been brainwashed that someone or something else is going to do the work for you. In fact, your job in life is to love getting up early, going to work every day. We should be fearless and faithful. Yep. That's how I live my life. I have faith in God every day. And the more you realize that the stories we're told are to make someone else money. And I've learned that I'm not here to make money. I'm here to make men, mommies, and masters. And if I can teach you to hunt, to gather, to share a story of the power of God's, well, I know no matter what's in the bank, the mind is the master of the mission. Have you ever been to the bank and seen the money in the bank?
Nope.
There is no money there.
Nope.
Money and the riches are within us. And that's why it's so simple. It's all you need to do is be grateful to the master gift of life and all the riches he has given us infinitely. And I always talk about God. I talk about faith first. And when you make the shift, now it's interesting, and I'm going to just take a little side note if I may. I don't care if you're a vegan, vegetarian, Mediterranean, pescatarian, or carnivorian. If you simply focus on the gratitude of life every day, you will live a most amazing life. If you happen to be a plant-based eater, but you simply eat only one time a day, cook the plants well and up the animal fat, game changer. You'll feel so much better. If you go carnivore, you'd be like, wow, super charged. And I challenge everyone and anyone listening to this, watching this, whether it's today in 2025 or it's in 2525, because this information will live on for eternity. You'd be like, wow, why did they teach me that meat is bad? And why are they feeding me fake meat in the first place? It's because someone else wants to control you. And you've got to recognize that ultimately nobody controls you. You are 100% responsible for everything you take in. And so that's where I think faith in God and the word is the way. In the beginning was the word. The word was and always will be God, because we create our life. I don't care if you're in a jail, solitude, confinement, and you only are eating fried beans. You can live the most amazing life when you understand the gift that you have. You can change everything by changing what you think of the things.
So you've been implementing, utilizing, and prescribing the carnivore diet to women that are having issues with fertility, and they have been able to implement a high fat meat diet without any issues with like breastfeeding. Like, what about their, you know, what about their kids? Like, can they do that while they're breastfeeding?
Well, they do have issues. And the biggest issue is that all their issues go away. And suddenly they're able to breastfeed better. Their digestion goes, digestive problems go away. Many of them that have been suffering from fertility issues suddenly get pregnant, deliver babies. They're reducing the risks of prematurity and labor dysfunction. And men are also improving their libido, their sperm, quality, quantity, and all of those things. So again, if you're waiting for the scientific study to prove it, never happen. Because, you know, it's sort of like waiting for the scientific study that proves God. It will never happen, because science is all claiming doesn't exist. But we know that we exist. And so my daughter just had a baby, Julia with the G. Every time she adds a little spicy food to her diet, Julio gets upset and sick from breastfeeding. So what you breed, drink, and eat gets into the breast milk, and it's transferred to your little baby. And so I really think fatty meat, salt water, some people can't tolerate cow's milk products, but I think butter is okay in most cases. When you heal the gut, you'll tolerate those things better. Some people go to the A2 milk and things like that if you need to. But ultimately, all of our health problems are minimized and or eliminated on a carnivore lifestyle. And maybe we should stop using the word diet, because diet denotes someone that's actually prescribed something that you should be eating temporarily to get better or lose weight. But in fact, this is a true lifestyle, because ultimately human beings are lions and lionesses. And when we realize the power of living like this, game changer.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's such a self-correcting system, because between the quality of sleep and my health and my workouts and my ability to perform and mental clarity, and the lack of brain fog, it's a self-driving system where, there's always, there's food everywhere. It's a huge part of our culture. It's incredibly highly processed. It's just, there's so much of it that's just, it's just pervasive, and there's all these fast food places everywhere you go. There's all these coffee shops, and everything is just highly processed. So it is absolutely ubiquitous and everywhere. And, because of that, it does take willpower and control to make a decision and stick to the plan. And, once again, that's why I think even once you're having great success and you feel really good, it's very important to continue to listen to other people's success stories and to share your own story as, one, a way of encouraging other people to try it, but two, to encourage yourself and to remind yourself why you're doing what you're doing, why you are an outlier, why you choose to live this lifestyle, because it is easy to fall back into complacency and just become complacent, and your health will slowly degrade back into what it was. Your weight will increase, and all of your ailments will come back, and you'll be right back in the same position in which you started, just because you got a little complacent, a little lazy, or you got tempted to have a cheat meal or whatever.
Well, this is why community is critical. And that's why we're here. We're sharing ideas in a community that brings us all together around the globe. Because walking down the street to a meetup isn't as easy, because we're small numbers around the globe, but we're growing. And you can create those locally also. We do them around the country, around the world, to bring people together to learn about why carnivore lifestyle is such an amazing concept and idea. But I think that I always enjoy hard things, because we're built for hard. And if you think about the world, nothing easy created much of anything significant in this world. People who invented amazing things often worked on these things their entire lives. And quite commonly, they failed at what they were doing until someone else might have picked it up and realized the mastery of that person's acts. But I think that alcohol is deadly. Negativity is deadly. And you have to focus on the beauty of hard every single day. That's why your language that you self-talk, and I go through my prayers and gratitude infinite times a day. I'm thankful for all my failures, but I don't look at them as failures as we often think about them. I think about them as the training grounds to make us stronger. Or you're an apprentice in life. We're just this is an apprenticeship. That's what we're here for. And being famous is no value in life. In the sense of our goal is to help and give and support our brothers and sisters around the globe through service. And the more we provide that service, I don't make money doing this. I obviously have my day job where I make money, but I interesting enough, I never did what I do in order to make money. I did it because I became a doctor in order to help people. I saw the suffering. And the interesting part of that, the more I just focused on how can I help you, it unfolded and brought immense value to sharing the story more and more and more around the globe. And if I can eliminate my day job of IVF, all power to us, because now we're allowing people to reproduce naturally. And one of the problems in this world is we're all waiting for, you know, we're waiting for the right time to have children. There is no right time, but now. And you know, it isn't your degree. It isn't money in the bank. It isn't the right house. Or sometimes, it's even like, well, I'm ready for the right partner. I mean, if you just step back, you might see them right in front of you.
Yeah, and you make a great point. One of my mentors, Jim Rohn, he said, choose your hard, because, people don't think of it. But, if you're sick and you can't get out of bed and you can't go to work and you can't make enough money to pay your bills, that's very hard. That's very hard. And it's the same thing. And, oh, maybe you can't eat the triple chocolate, ultra processed dessert, with your friends at the burger joint or whatever. But because you choose not to do that, you have more energy. You get a better night's sleep. You get up earlier. You can now do all the hard things. You can lift all the heavy objects, right? And now you're more productive. And now you're creating abundance. And yeah, it's hard, but it's just as hard to do all the wrong things and all the self-destructive things. And I really love the concept of, choosing your heart.
It's interesting, and Jim Rohn and so many other people that I've followed and read or listened to. I love Audible books, but I watch a lot of videos that are inspiring, stories that are inspiring. I couldn't read as a kid, but I voraciously read today, and I'm inspired by people like yourself and many other people who are sharing a story of hard. And the more we encourage our brothers and sisters that are going through hardships, failures, and challenges, we encourage them, hey, it's okay. It's okay to go through what you're going through. Too often I think I'm sorry, this should have never happened. I never say that. I say, wow, you're blessed. Wow, to experience this and go through what you're doing and your training is why we're here. We're not here in order to somehow have an easy silver spoon in our mouths. That's not. And quite often we see so many people with those things, they suffer. But again, that suffering is a gift.
Yeah, and if they would respond to it, right, properly, they could utilize it. It's just like you were saying earlier. One of my sons, we have a website and we sell stuff, and he makes leather work, so he makes custom wallets and belts and holsters and all this kind of cool stuff. And he had a guy ordered this custom belt, and the guy told him how he wanted it. And he said, now, are you sure about the width? Because that's pretty wide. And the guy said, yeah. So he took a small deposit and he made this belt, and the guy's like, I love it. It's great. But you know what? I know I told you to make it 2 inches wide, but I don't think that's going to fit in my pants belt loop. So like, can you make another belt, And so he had this whole interaction and he was like, oh, this stinks, this transaction failed and this guy is terrible and whatever. And I said, no, I said, look what you learned, right? I said, this wasn't a failure. This was a lesson. And you learned that you don't take a small deposit. Like if you either, depending on the product, you either take half or just have them pay in full up front, then you're covered. And then if this happens, so you learn that and you learned it early on. And think about the 20 or 30 or 100 or 1,000 projects moving forward where that can't happen to you anymore, right? So it wasn't a failure. Nobody worked one over on you. And what's even more hilarious about this story is that then this guy, like 4 or 5 days later, he said, you know what? I thought about it. I feel really bad about this. The belt looks great. I think I can use it. I can work it out. So I'm just going to pay you for it, you know? And it's so interesting, one, with perspective, and two, with just looking at these failures as learning opportunities and trials.
It all happens the way it's supposed to always. And that's the amazing story. And when we finally get to the point where, like, you mean he gifted me all that in the first place anyway? And I think as I experience life nearly in my 70s, I'm quicker to see the gift of everything rather than the stinky part of something that happens to me. It's like, yeah, got it. Got it now. Love it. Perfect. Masterful. Appreciate you, God.
Yeah. And that's because of your experiences. You know, the longer you live life and you experience these things, when you're younger, you don't have enough experience, I think, to appreciate a lot of things. And as you get older and as you experience, as you also kind of with your parents and other things, you experience their experiences, you know, both of my parents, the medical industrial complex kind of destroyed my parents. You know, my dad started having strokes. He passed away about 4 years ago, and he got medicated to death. And now my mom is kind of on this similar path. And she's on hospice and everything. And it really, you know, experiencing that with them gives you a greater appreciation for a lot of things and gives you a lot of perspective. And it's very motivating, right? To help share truth and encourage other people to say, hey, look, don't do this. This is what happened in my family. This is what they did. This was the end result, you know? And there's a very simple, easy way to avoid this, you know? With this carnivore lifestyle, you can avoid all this. You can reduce your expenses. You won't have to be part of the medical industrial complex, but you can actually have high energy and be symptom free and live a normal, productive life outside of that paradigm. And, you know, and all of those little aspects actually build upon one another. Like, even when we're talking about the analogies of banking, and, you know, obviously, you know, the money in the bank are numbers on a screen, right? And it's the exact same thing when it comes to our health and the associated costs with that. And the least expensive, highest output, most abundant is the way to go versus the very expensive, hard way that involves pharmaceuticals and highly processed foods and stomach problems and health issues and obesity. And it's a trickle down effect.
Well, it's interesting because unfortunately the modern medical system, even naturopaths and acupuncturists and herbal medicine people, I mean, all of the majority of healthcare professions that are teaching other humans to help heal still focus on a plant protein, low fat diet in general. And so in allopathic medicine, like I'm trained, we are trained to make a diagnosis of a disease and then figure out the drug, the specialist, doctor, or dissection that could help you. In general, the diets we recommend are typically going to be Mediterranean, plant-based, low-fat, and colorful. And rarely are we going to say, oh, you need carnivore, of course. It's not happening as much as we'd like to see yet. But I think what we're doing here is we're recognizing that your doctor is doing the best they know how because they're trained, and we're all trained to seek them out in a system that probably is wasting a lot of our resources when you think about it. And by sharing an idea that's so radical that you mean, wait a minute, I don't need to eat vegetables. You mean fatty meat is good for me. You mean that going to work every day is actually a great thing and having hardships and challenges good. And yes, you know, sometimes we may need our Western medical system, but your job is to become your own health care expert. And today, all the information is online. And why are we here? Why did we just be part of the animal movie or Healing Humanity that's coming out? And why do we blog and go to these meetings around the country and around the world? Is because we want to empower you to understand the human being that we evolved as hunters. We hunted and ate fatty raw meat, but for whatever reason, we're too good. And the plants were like our survival food. And then we had to process them. Otherwise they were going to be harmful. And that too added to a lot of our diseases. But our job here and your job, my job, is to share an idea that everyone and anyone can pick up. They don't need to ask for permission. They have the right to do whatever they want with their own bodies because they're in charge. And we want to change the Western system, but the Western system is not just in America. It's global. And the cost of healthcare, again, is the number one reason for going bankrupt in America. And you have little to no choice because you go to a hospital, you know, they don't ask you, do you want this? What's going to cost you this? It's just done. And they say, oh, it's $1 million. And it didn't work. I'm sorry. Now, again, I'm not here blaming anyone. Your and my job is to take full on responsibility for everything in our lives. I am never here to judge against anyone. I want to take responsibility how I can help. And again, most people are going to say Dr. Kilt's carnivore is just ridiculous. Doesn't make sense. And you're right. It doesn't make any sense according to what we're taught.
Right. But, and so, yeah. And you brought up two really important points, right? One about working and not retiring. Retirement was a Weimar Republic. It was a communist concept, and it was a wealth transfer to, oh, if you save your money with the government, when you retire to drown worms in a bass boat or whatever, you know, the government will have the money for you. And now we're finding out the money's not there, right? And the concept of retirement is just to steal money from you. It's the exact same thing with our health system and the health food store, right? I challenge everybody. I said, go into your most popular, your healthiest health food store, right? Walk the aisles, and what you're going to see are highly processed foods. They're 98%. They're going to be plant-based. They're going to be highly processed. They're going to be packaged in plastics and thermoplastics with tinfoil, whatever. And 98% of that store are highly processed. It says healthy. It says plant-based. It says all this stuff. But none of that stuff, when push comes to shove, is healthy for you. And it's called a health food store.
Well, and that's the marketing and we use the words healthy, organic, clean. And so people live those words. Remember, the word is the way. That's why listening and just going deep dive into carnivore is really important. But like anything else, your brain's not going to believe it. The only way to learn to change is to do. Do or do not, there be no try. Life is a doing game. But first thing you do is you need to begin to, like, I am a carnivore. I say that even if I eat a piece of cookie, cake, ice cream, fruit, fiber, vegetable, seeds, or nut. Or if I have a glass of wine, rarely, but not never. And because I believe that I'm a minimizer. I am really good at no. 2 years, no coffee. I had a cup today and a cup yesterday. Am I going to lose my shirt over it? No way. Because I never give negative thought or energy to anything. And all of us are capable of that. You're like, oh no, you're addicted. No, you're not. You're not addicted. You've been set into a idea that makes you think, oh, I'm weak and I can't do it. Well, no, you're not. You're strong as heck. But you have to work on the mind game. And that's the master work here, because all the propaganda, all the advertisements that are constantly bombarding us are telling you that you're weak, you're meek, you can't. And don't forget, you have to have your vegetables. The last I learned, heroin, cocaine, marijuana, nicotine, caffeine all come from plants. And basically, when you eat a plant-based diet, it makes you a domesticated animal.
Mm. Well, I mean, it does make you very, you know, not to get all conspiratorial, but it does make you very docile. It makes you very weak. It makes you malleable. It makes you like a good cog in the machine, so that it makes you very docile. It gives you brain fog so that you can't think for yourself. And then if you're in this lower, like they tell you about the television and the theta waves or whatever, it puts you in a hypnotizable type state where you can consume propaganda and the subliminal messages. And then you're like, you'll think of something. You're like, hey, where did that come from? Like, and it's because you've been programmed, right? And it is very interesting and strange that because whether or not it was a grand conspiracy created by the prince and the power of the air, or whether it was just a convenient conspiracy, you know, once again, this correlation between food and money, when we had World War I and World War II, and there was kind of like this food transfer, and then because of the money printing to fund the war, we had hyperinflation, so we needed to disguise the fact that our food was becoming more expensive by creating highly processed foods with tons of fillers and seed oils and Crisco and war byproducts. You know, well,
if you think about it, I mean, we ultimately, I believe, went on a spree of making more food, more processed, so it lasts longer and we could ship it around the world to feed starving people.
Yeah.
I don't think our intention was, let's make a bunch of food that might be harmful. Whatever you want to believe. Again, you can believe what you want in this world, but I believe that our intention was somewhat admirable, although, you know, we're going around the world trying to fight wars, and you know, the war machine is a whole nother conversation, which I'm not here to get into. But I think that what we're doing today is simply saying, hey, listen, if you want to live your very best life and you want to eliminate a lot of those mental, physical diseases, that you look at the carnivore lifestyle and you'd be like, wow, this is quite amazing. And I've seen so many people at every age, I don't care where you're at, you do this, you'll be like, man, this is like crazy. Our parents, our grandparents are suffering in memory care homes and in places where they're fed a plant-based, low animal fat, and it's just constant food. And the hospitals are doing the same thing, unfortunately. And so my mission is that we can share a message that when you have someone in the hospital, you make sure you help them. Either you're sick, don't eat. Fasting is one of the very best things you can do to heal the human body. Days and even weeks in some cases, and don't let them infuse glucose in your saline, in my opinion, but we need to change it. But I'm not here to protest. I'm here to be a prophet in the message to say, hey, listen, again, I'm a medical doctor. I'm nearly 70, and I believe that our diet is wrong. The government can pass all the laws it wants. It cannot change what you do. Only you can. And that's what this real message is about.
That is the message. And the beauty of it is we don't have to wait for a political messiah. We don't have to wait for a political movement of like somebody that wants to take red dye out of food or whatever. No, this has to do with every decision you make every single day. And these are decisions that are completely within your control. Meat-based and high-fat meats and these products are right now, as we speak, readily available. I mean, we're in Texas, we're in cow country, we raise our own cows. And I mean, I can't drive 10 miles without passing thousands of cows. And so this solution is readily available. It's here for you. And all you have to do is implement it. All you have to do is try it and everything can change. Like within 30 days, what if you adopted an incredibly basic, simplistic diet, and within 30 days, everything changed? You know, what if you were sick? What if you couldn't wake up in the morning? What if you couldn't get out of bed? What if you were experiencing all these stomach issues and digestive problems and, you know, mental fog and all? And what if you implemented this rudimentary, basic diet, and within 30 days, you started to improve?
What if that's kind of like all of us? Because everything you mentioned is just like sounds like all of us anyway. And that's the most amazing thing, that I don't care where you are in this world, we're all suffering from something. And 99.9% is a low animal fat diet and a high plant-based diet. If you simply eat more fatty meat, even if you're eating some plants, cook them well, add the fat, I think you'd be healthier than ever. But if you're suffering from arthritis, psoriasis, migraines, kidney stones, bowel bleeding, hemorrhoids, depression, anxiety. It's because in general you're putting into your mind and your mouth things that are not meant for a lion, but for a pig, cow, and a sheep.
Yeah, and what I find fascinating, I'm 2 years and a couple weeks in, right? Carnivore, pretty strict, not super duper strict. Now, the better I feel, the stricter I become. And I want to ask you this question too, about raw meat, because what I'm experiencing is for the last 60 days, I've almost ate just hamburger with some cheese on there. And I eat like 2 1-pound burgers, but the hamburgers I cook continue to become more and more and more rare. The hamburgers I cook, I'm doing like 4 minutes a side in the air fryer, just enough to get the outside surface warm and maybe just a hair brown, but the inside is completely raw. And what I find fascinating is I'm like, this is what I want. Like, and this is great. And then, you know, what about all that propaganda? Oh, raw meat's going to kill you. You're going to get like streptococcus or mad cow or E. coli or whatever. What's your thoughts on raw meat?
Well, in general, my meat is rare to raw, and it's either Pittsburgh cold or it's raw. And ultimately, if you think about it, what other animal eats cooked food? None, unless you're a domesticated dog or cat. That's about it. But ultimately, evolutionarily speaking, you killed and you ate. And if you didn't eat fast, you were dead because some other animal killed you and took your food anyway. When you cook things, you damage them. Think of just, you know, everything that's glycated. It's the molecules of the food you eat that's cooked, I think, can be damaging. That's one of the biggest problems in all of this. So the fatty raw meat is the healthiest thing to eat, and the actual adipose tissue. Last night I had some lamb, raw lamb, and they put a little sort of butter and they had a little bit of some cheese chips in there, and then I think they put a little capers. And I ate those. It wasn't a big deal, in my opinion. But I would say that the raw fatty meat is the healthiest thing to eat and cooked. And that's why a lot of carnivores, in my opinion, are not healthy, because they're eating a lot of cooked meat and they're missing the fat. They either cut away the fat, or when they cook it, it melts away. And so a low-fat diet, call it protein poisoning, it's not good for us. And again, it's a practice like anything else. I just slice it up, I'll put a little salt on it, and I chew on it.
Yeah, that's what the longer I'm eating this way, the rawer the meat gets. And what is more fascinating to me, 2 years in, like, my health and different ailments that I didn't quite recognize as even being ailments continue to improve. So my health continues to get better.
Yeah, it is the most radical thing you could realize, in that if you look at Pottinger's cats, Pottinger wrote a book in the 40s, I think. He did a study on 1,000 cats where he fed them either cooked meat, raw meat, pasteurized milk, or raw milk. And the raw were healthy, and their subsequent generations were healthy. So in fact, again, we're brainwashed. Oh, I won't eat that. Oh, raw meat's bad for you. Again, our brain has been pre-programmed with an idea that is wrong. But it's hard to change those ideas. And I grew up, my father used to always eat raw meat. And so I love the raw hamburger meat. Even if we used to go to the butcher and you tell them you'd like how many pounds of ground beef, they take the chuck or whatever it is, they grind it for you and they'd send it home. And so freshly ground or home ground is better than buying pre-ground. Although I would tell you, in general, the pre-ground meat that you buy in America is mostly good for you. And I think that regenerative local processed meat is the best, but if you're doing industrial meat, it's still going to be better than the best plant ever.
And I have another question for you. The one thing, originally when I went carnivore, within the first 3 months, I had dramatically improved sleep. And then the longer I stayed carnivore, like, my sleep started to worsen. And so I've been kind of experimenting. But what's been happening is I fall asleep fine. I go to sleep. I'll wake up 2 or 3 or 4 times a night, usually 2 or 3. But the problem is I don't go back to sleep. My body temperature elevates like dramatically when I wake up, and I kind of like start to sweat. And so that prevents me from falling back to sleep. Do you have any kind of recommendations on how to counteract that, or what to do about that?
What are your thoughts when you wake up in the middle of the night?
Usually, I mean, if I don't start to sweat and everything, usually I don't really, my mind doesn't race. But when I wake up and then my temperature elevates, then I just start thinking about everything, anything and
right.
everything.
Right. Well, if I wake up in the middle of the night, it usually says, get up and go do something. And sometimes I would go outside in the middle of the night, especially in the summertime. I go outside, I go in the pool or the lake. I live on a lake. And I go through some meditation and prayer, or I read something or watch something. I mean, think about a lion. You know, the lion sunset, goes to sleep all night, wakes up in the morning. They're aroused easily, and they're always checking things out. In my experience, I mean, where did we come up with that? You need 8 hours of full sleep. It's another story. So I believe part of that, the subconscious brain is kind of worried a little bit. And the worry brings on epinephrine and cortisol, which could set on a little bit of heat, elevation, and sweat, and those sort of things. So I just like, wow, well, I'm up. I better get up and do something. I get up sometimes at 2 and 3 in the morning, and I get up. I usually get up. I sometimes go to work, and then I take a nap. I take 2 to 3 naps a day. I came home. Actually, I took like a 5-minute nap at the office, And then I came home and I took like a 10-minute nap at home. And so I think napping, I mean, the carnivores nap all the time. Dogs, cats, wolves, lions, they're nappers. And they're not getting up and saying, I'm awake. I should be asleep. If that makes any sense, again, it's subconscious, a lot of these things. We've been led to believe if this isn't happening, something's wrong with you, rather than maybe I'm okay. Maybe God woke me up for a reason, either to go do something or check on the family, check on the environment. And I often will go down and lay on the couch. I find like another spot to go and curl up and take a nap because I think that that's part of who we are. We're not, you know, it's not this idea that, oh, you're supposed to only sleep here. You're supposed to get 8 hours a day. And because we've been led to believe something must be wrong with me. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. And, I was listening to this sleep expert guy, and he mentioned that. He said, you know, he's like, it's not abnormal for you to wake up 3 or 4 times a night. He's like, that's normal. What I was just wondering if it was hormonal or anything, because, you know, it doesn't happen. Like when I wake up, it doesn't happen all the time that I get this elevated temperature. So I didn't know if it was hormonal or maybe what I've heard other people like Carrie Mann, like he doesn't eat like after 3. So I didn't know maybe if I eat too late or.
Well, I think this idea of time, I mean, what animal says, oh, it's 3 o'clock. I can't eat after that.
Sure. Right.
None. Right. You know, and I don't know what time they eat. Then let's do a study and, you know, figure out when a lion eats and, you know, when it decides to go to bed. Oh, I can't go to bed yet. I mean, we make up the stories that are untrue, in my opinion. And I would say, so there's nothing wrong with your hormones. There may be something wrong with your hormone producing cells. In essence, we blame things on our hormones. Nothing wrong with them. They're doing what they're supposed to do. The problem is our cells and our glands, our organs are damaged by a plant protein, low animal fat diet and eating 3 to 6 meals a day and being told a story that we believe is true when in fact, you know, science is theoretical. I hope everyone knows that. Science is purely theoretical. And so, wait a minute, it's a belief system. It's kind of like the belief in God. But the last I looked, the Bible is the most popular book in the world. It remains so. And you and I go to war, I'm asking you, hey, can I borrow your Bible? I didn't say, did you bring Scientific America anyway? And so, I don't think we have hormonal problems. We have inflammatory disorders, which are mostly secondary to plant protein, low-fat diet, 3 to 6 meals a day, and thinking in the negative, not in the positive. Utilize where you're at and what's going on in your life for good. And when we die, we're going to have plenty of time to sleep. If you wake up, you just ask God, okay, what do you got for me today?
Well, it's funny. I always tell my boys, you'll sleep when you're dead.
That's it. And if you're tired, I take a nap.
Yeah. Okay.
I just take a nap. You know, it's like I take a nap in the afternoon and I get up at 4 o'clock. I might do my live. Sometimes after my live, I say, you know what? I'm going to take a 10-minute nap. I love to do an hour walking. I do my weights every day. I do 100 push-ups a day. I meditate and pray infinite times a day. And that's the strength of the beautiful human body that God has gifted you and I.
This has been an awesome conversation, Dr. Kiltz. I want to make sure that everybody, where is the best place for folks to find you, your information?
drkiltz.com or just Dr. Rob Kiltz, and you can find me pretty much everywhere and anywhere, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, my website, drkiltz.com. I'm a painter, potter, poet, airplane, I'm a pilot, but number one, I'm a person, just like you and I, and we're all special. We all are creative. I'm always open to do a podcasting and interviews. I always want to reciprocate. We want it both ways. And that's what we're here to do is now the power of this device. I was listening to a story about the television, and brain just had a little fart. It's there somewhere. But how the RCA guy pretty much understood the power of the radio and television. Well, the power is now in your hands. And Google Kiltz, Google Fearless Podcast, and listen and learn, and we're sharing together.
Yeah, I'll put all the links down below. Greatly appreciate the time you've invested here. This is a value for value proposition. So if y'all love the information that we are putting out and you're encouraged, go on over to thetexasboys.com. You can support us there, and we will see y'all on the next video.
See y'all.
See y'all. God bless.